minus 5, minus 4, minus 3, minus 2, X minus 1. Fire.
Lights out, everybody.
The creaking door.
Dimension X.
Inner Sanctum Mystery.
Minus 1.
Dark fantasy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Horror, brought to you by Duane Old Time Radio. Sci-Fi and Horror features some of the best programs from the golden age of radio, including X-1, Orbiter X, Dimension X, Slot X's, Lights Out, Ray Bradbury, Dark Fantasy, and many, many more. Before we start today's sci-fi and horror thriller, if you enjoy what I'm doing, let me ask you to subscribe to my channel. Subscribing is 100% free, and you will receive notifications on new posts. Lastly, if you have a moment, please write a short one or two sentence review or give a rating on your preferred podcast service. A positive review or rating would help me out a lot. And now, on to the show.
Gonna get back to our normal timeline. This week we have Twilight Zone, hosted by Stacey Keach. Two episodes. This is the new, and not improved, but the new Twilight Zone that aired. I cannot find any exact dates for these episodes. I'm sure they're out there somewhere. But these aired, since this is from Volume 1, this is the first series of The Twilight Zone. And The Twilight Zone, the radio, started October 2002. So I'm going to assume these are aired sometime October 2002. Two episodes, A Kind of Stopwatch, featuring Lou Diamond Phillips, and then The Lateness of the Hour, with Jane Seymour and James Keach, 2002. Oh yeah, these aired on BBC Radio also.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Cooper Corporation, how may I direct your call? Just a moment. Cooper Corporation.
Coffee coming through. Who ordered coffee?
With sugar and two creams.
Right here.
Thanks, Louie.
You got it. Coffee here.
Do you have any Danish this morning?
I got bran muffins, granola bars, and trail mix.
Oh, no. What happened to the Danish?
Mr. Cooper's orders.
Mr. Cooper, how come?
He's on a health kick. Says Danish is bad for you.
For the whole office?
Everybody on the floor. He wants more work out of you.
Oh, well. I suppose I'll have one of those granola bars. Is it chocolate coated?
K-Rob.
Sounds positively yummy. Guess I'll give it a try.
Hey, that's wrong, you know.
What is, McNulty?
Well, the pastries are bad for the brain. True, they're mostly sugar and starch, but so are muffins, huh? Granola bars? Granola bars have as much fat as 13 strips of bacon, did you know that? And trail mix? Forget it! Forget it! There's so many calories in saturated fats, you might as well eat a tub of popcorn, huh? With butter! Well, if Mr. Cooper wants to improve productivity...
All I know is I got coffee with cream, cream and sugar, cream by itself, sugar by itself, or artificial sweetener. And that old favorite, all black. Take your pick.
Ah, diversification. Now you're on the right track. As I always say, you can't run a business standing still. A business has got to move. A business has got to progress. You think about that now.
Excuse me, I gotta progress through the office.
Yeah, so do I. We all do. A business has got to keep pushing, keep punching, keep prodding, keep moving forward. That's what a business has got to do. Now, you think about that.
Personally, I got to get a drink of water. You coming, Gertrude?
I think I better go with you.
Ah, sounds good. Think I'll come along, too.
That's all right.
Hey, did you know that water is the most important part of a healthy diet? We're almost all water. I mean, our cells feed off of it, right? Hey, you see that suggestion box on the wall? I personally told Mr. Cooper to get better quality bottled water. Huh? But the chemicals they put in it these days, I mean, think about it now, it's a disgrace. Not to mention.
Submitted for your approval, or at least your analysis, one Patrick Thomas McNulty, who at age 41 is the biggest bore on earth. He holds a 10-year record for the most meaningless words spewed out during a typical coffee break. And it's very likely that as of this moment, he would have gone on through life in precisely the same manner. A dull, argumentative big mouth who sets back the art of conversation at least 1,000 years. I say he very likely would have, except for something that will soon happen to him. Something totally unexpected that will considerably alter his existence and ours. You think about that now, because this is, after all, the Twilight Zone.
And now, the Twilight Zone and our story, A Kind of Stopwatch, starring Lou Diamond Phillips, with Stacy Keach as your narrator.
You can taste the impurities. We need clean air, too. HEPA filters, air ionizers, the whole bit, huh, you know? And these rooms need a new paint job while they're at it, you know? I mean, a nice, soothing color.
Come on, Angie. Let's go to the powder room.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because we got to keep this company on track. You think about it now.
We will. McNulty.
Right here.
Mr. Cooper would like to see you.
Well, you hear that, everybody, huh? Mr. Cooper would like to see McNulty, huh? And all because of that box right there. You know why Mr. Cooper wants to see McNulty? Because McNulty has been feeding him suggestions in that box for 11 months now. Did I say suggestions? Wrong word. Suggestions any clod can give, huh? But dynamic blueprints for the future only McNulty can give, huh? You just think about that.
Mr. Cooper's waiting, Mr. McNulty.
I don't suppose you'd be free for dinner, would you, huh? I was thinking we could, you know, dine at some cozy little out-of-the-way place, nice and intimate, you know. Then, maybe a trip to Light Fantastic.
If I were starving to death and you were the last man on Earth and it meant whether I live or die, I might be. But I'm not, you're not, and it doesn't. So buzz off, Buster.
In here, McNulty.
Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Do you know what I've been doing for the last half hour?
You've been looking through the suggestion box. I knew it was going to happen one of these days, Mr. Cooper. I've been expecting it. You see, the thing of it is, it takes a very special kind of employer to recognize that one of his men has got it. And obviously, McNulty does.
Truer words, McNulty, have probably never been spoken here or anywhere else. I've just gone through the residue of the suggestion box covering the past 3 month period. Here is your suggestion, dated March 13th. Make hot dogs flat so they can fit more easily into a hamburger bun.
Well, how about that? Now you think about that now, Mr. Cooper.
Make tin cans square so they can be stacked together more easily.
Well, huh? Isn't that a guess? You think about that, too.
put small pontoons in field packs of soldiers so that when they cross rivers, they can float.
That's worth $1 million as it stands, huh? I mean, that one little suggestion. You see, the soldiers, they go into the water in the cans. Well, the cans, they're full of air, see, so...
Mr. McNulty, the Cooper Corporation makes ladies' foundation garments. It has nothing whatsoever to do with hamburgers, hot dogs, tin cans, or national defense. Not a single one of your 340 suggestions, repeat, not one of them, has anything remotely to do with this company's product.
Right. See? I wanted to talk to you about that, too. What you ought to do is focus on new inventions for our customers.
Our customers?
Well, I've been doing some reading about pressure and leverage, the principles of engineering, and one of the greatest engineers of the 20th century was Howard Hughes. Why, did you know that he invented the cantilevered brassiere? Huh? He invented an undergarment that actually defied the laws of gravity, huh? Like a suspension bridge. And if it weren't for his little invention, nobody would have ever heard of Jane Russell. Huh? Did you know that?
I believe this company is well aware of the history of our product lines. And they don't have anything to do with 1940s movie stars or eccentric old recluses with mental delusions.
Exactly! The key to a successful business is diversification. More products for more kinds of customers. Now you think about that.
I have thought about it, McNulty. Now you think about this.
Yes, sir.
You're fired!
Another round, McNulty?
In a minute. I'm still working on this one.
Now, over here, Joe. Coming right up.
You know something?
Oh, here we go again.
With the long ball hitter, as opposed to the consistent clutch hitter with a big average, I will take the latter.
Well, that's very nice of you to tell us, McNulty.
Well, it's a fact that at no time has the home run leader in either league led the league in batting at no time, which should tell you.
Ted Williams won the batting championship and led the league in home runs in 1941, 42, and 47.
The exception to the rule? Think about that now. The exception to the rule.
You know something? My sister's got 5 kids, a 6'4" walk-up, a little bitty TV set, and an air conditioner that don't work. But I'll tell you what else it don't have. It don't have McNulty. Me, I'm out of here.
Like I was saying, it's the exception that proves the rule.
Let me ask you something, McNulty. How come you're in here so early tonight? You've been sitting here now for 3.5 hours.
Well, for the simple reason that... I quit my job.
No kidding.
Yeah, I went into Mr. Cooper's office and I read him off. Just like that, you know, Cooper I said.
Don't tell me, McNulty. You got canned.
Well, in a manner of speaking, you might say, well, yeah, we mutually agreed that I wasn't going to work there anymore. Let me ask you something. Wouldn't you think that after 1 year of putting suggestions in the suggestion box, after 1 whole year, I'd get noticed?
McNulty, you want to know something? Getting noticed and getting liked are 2 different things.
What do you know about it?
Nothing, McNulty. Not a thing. All I know is that every week of every month, except election day, you come in here and drive everybody out of their skull walking on your lower lip. Now, you think about that little thing, will you? For my sake.
Where's my other beer?
Right here.
Thank you, barkeep. If you don't mind, I think I'll find myself a nice, quiet table to sit at. Goodbye. Excuse me, my good man. Is this seat taken?
Is now...
Sir, What do you say, old-timer?
I say 54-40 or fight. I also say, damn the torpedoes and full speed ahead. And on occasion, I have been known to say, it takes a heap of living to make a house a home.
You want another one?
Thank you. I would consider it a kindness on your part.
One more over here, please. So, what's your name?
What's my name? Potts.
Potts?
Potts.
Well, isn't that such a bad name?
It is the one I was born with.
Seems to me there was a third baseman played for the Phillies one year. Seems to me his name was Potts. Let's see, it was Lou Potts, Frank Potts. Could it have been Botts?
No. Potts!
You paying, McNulty? Because this old rummy already gave me his last dollar.
This man is my friend. And I like a little respect from you while you're at it.
I bet you would, McNulty. And you getting respect from me would be about as easy as flagging down a cab on 46 and Broadway at 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve in the rain.
Here you go. So, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about baseball?
Well, it is a great American pastime, and I am so glad that Abner Doubleday saw fit to invent it. To your health, friend. And now, to show my appreciation for your generosity, I have something for you. Consider it a gift, a small remembrance of our friendship.
What is it?
It's an old family heirloom. A kind of stopwatch, you might say.
Why do you carry it around? I mean, you know, if it's just a stopwatch, it doesn't keep time. Right?
That is a fact. But it's all yours nonetheless. Someday you might own a racehorse. Or you might want to run the 4-minute mile. Who knows? Now you've got a stopwatch to time yourself. I've been looking for someone to give it to. I myself am finally finished with it. Goodbye, old pal. E pluribus unum.
Hey, you didn't finish your beer.
You done for the night, McNulty? There ain't no more ears in here you can bend. You bored 10 people to death, and you emptied this place faster than a smallpox sign.
Funny-looking watch. Anyway. I hate to go home, Joe. I mean, geez, you know, I mean, I already saw the picture on the Late Show. I mean, I even saw the one on the Late Late Show.
Hey, McNulty, do me a favor, would you? Whenever you get the thirst, go to some other bar.
Sometimes, you know, I wish I was married, because so I wouldn't have to go anywhere, you know? You ever get that feeling, huh? I mean, look at this thing. Pushing it.
And another thing about you, McNulty, you make me nervous. First you come in here, and then...
What? What's going on, Joe? Hey, Joe. Why ain't you moving, Joe? Joe, why don't you say something? I mean, it's like you was frozen. What's with the TV? There was a game on. The guy started the pitch and well, you look at that. Ball's just hanging there. Did the TV freeze up or something? Say, what is this? Something's going on. All I was doing was telling you about how bored I was, and then that crazy gleep gives me this watch here, and I push the button on it like this, and...
And you bore people to death. And then you start to make me so nervous my back itches. And...
Hey, I kind of like this.
Furthermore, it's getting so people don't stay very long in my establishment when you're around. You catch my drift? They stick their heads in, see you sitting here, and move on. In other words, you're costing me business, McNulty. Do I have to make it any plainer? So like I say, take it somewhere else, okay, pal? It's nothing personal.
Psh, I make you nervous? You don't suppose this watch here...
You know something, McNulty? You're the one guy who makes me wish they never repealed Prohibition.
And you know what I think, Joe? I think this watch is a very unusual one. That's what I think. A very, very unusual watch. Huh?
Hey, buddy, watch where you're going.
Sorry. Sorry, my good man.
Yeah, you should be.
Excuse me.
Begging your pardon, lady.
Officer, oh, officer.
Yes, ma'am?
That man over there, I think he's drunk.
Oh, he is, isn't he?
He bumped right into me. You can see the way he's staggering. He can hardly stand up. Oh, it's a disgrace.
Well, now, we'll just see about that. Hold on there, fella.
Yes, officer?
Had a little too much to drink, did we?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Not enough is more like it.
Why don't you just go home and sleep it off? You'll feel better in the morning.
Yes, yeah, of course. I'm on my way home now, as a matter of fact.
Walking, are you? I'd say you're in no condition.
You know, you're right, officer. I was just thinking about that.
Well, get along with you now.
Why should a man have to walk at all, right? He could fall down and get hurt. Now, here's an idea for you. You make the sidewalks out of rubber, huh? Think about that now, huh? No more injuries. You fall, you bounce right back up again. All the money the city could save. No more broken arms and legs to fix by the hospitals would save millions. Not to mention the insurance companies.
I think I better call you a cab.
Okay. I'm a cab. You get it? You said I'll call you. And then I said, well...
No more kidding now.
Not at all. I don't want a cab in the first place. I never stop for you. And in the second place, it takes too long on account of there's too much traffic in this city in the first place. Am I right or am I wrong? You tell me that.
I'm not telling you nothing. Now listen.
Hey. You know what they ought to do? Put in moving sidewalks. Huh? That way, all a man has to do is stand in one place. Not even use a single muscle, and before you know it, he's home. You think about that?
I'm serious. If you can't afford a cab, the subway's right at the end of the block. Now run along. Either that or I'll haul you in right now.
On what charge, may I ask?
Public intoxication. Plus, you're making a real nuisance of yourself. Now quit flapping your lips and get a move on, you hear?
Of course I do, officer. I hear the wisdom of your words, and I have enjoyed this conversation immensely. A good evening to you, sir.
Just move along now.
Subway, huh? Well, I guess it's an okay way to get around for now. Of course, if anybody would listen to McNulty...
Hurry
up, will you?
Hey, what's the matter with this turnstile? I'm pushing, but it doesn't turn.
You gotta put a token in.
Oh. Yes, of course.
Next. How many?
What? Oh, yes. Just one.
One token. Where's your money?
I don't have any small bills.
No money, no token.
But I have to get home.
Well, don't go trying to jump the gate or the guard will find you, but good. Next.
Come on, buddy.
Next.
Can't you just reach over and take a token off the top of that stack and hand it to me? See, nobody will notice. He's just as one.
What's with that guy?
Of all the nerve.
I think there's something wrong with him.
Next person in line.
Wait, in that case, I may have a solution to this little impasse of ours.
Hurry up, will you?
It's just this switch here on top.
Oh, for crying out loud, now he's setting his watch.
Yes, you see, this is the button I pushed before. Ah, now then. Well, what do you know? Looks like I don't need a token to get through the gate after all. I'll just climb over right under your nose, Mr. Security Guard. Huh? And when I'm safely aboard my train, wait a minute. Oh, no. Why take the train at all? Why, when there are other modes of transportation available, other much more comfortable kinds. Now, I'll just click this stopwatch one more time. And all I have to do is wait till I see what I'm looking for.
You again. Thought you was getting on the subway.
Oh, I was, officer. I was. But, you know, it's much too crowded. I decided to take a cab after all.
Say, what are you trying to pull?
Why, nothing, officer. Huh? It's just that I thought of another way to get home.
You even got enough money for a cab? Or did you drink it all?
Money? What an old-fashioned concept. I don't really think that's necessary now. No, not necessary at all.
No?
No, not as long as I can stop a cab. Of course, that's hard to do on a corner like this.
Let's go. I think I better take you down to the station house.
But why bother, huh? I mean, you know, as long as I can hail a cab. Let me show you McNulty's method. You watch, and you think about it now, okay? Taxi! There. Yeah. I think I can see a cab now. That one. In the middle of the street. How nice of the driver to stop just for me. Hello there, driver. What, not speaking, huh? Well, let me see what I can do to fix that.
What? Hey, who are you? How'd you get in my car?
Never mind, I'm here now, aren't I?
Okay, where to?
Home, driver. Take me downtown by the shortest possible route, and you think about it now.
Sure thing.
Hey, have you ever thought about this? Ban cars completely, you know, in the city at least, for starters. Helicopters. Now that's the future. Your private copters, okay? Each one big enough to hold one person. You think about the savings in gas, pollution, in traffic jam, not to mention police meter maids, no parking zones.
Anything you say, buddy.
Yeah, you see, all you do is you take some electric golf carts and you retrofit them with propellers on top and you plug them in, you charge them up and...
Here you go.
Now, you think about what I said now. The only way to make a really comfortable car seat is to build it horizontal. Like those, what do you call them, luge guys in the Olympics. Right? Right? Huh? See? That way you just lie down. And you steer looking into a mirror, the same as a periscope. And you think how low to the ground all the cars would be is a better center of gravity. It's much better. Plus, you can see across the street without having to strain your neck. And when it comes to getting out, you know, all you do is you roll, like in your bed, right? Now that would be a big improvement.
This here is it, mister. Far as I go. Think I'm gonna pack it in for the night.
Thank you, my good man.
That's 1780.
How's that?
The fare. Make it $18 plus something for the wife and kids.
Now, you see, that's just my point. All that money, and for what? I say ban the internal combustion engine. Springboard shoes would work just fine. All we need is a company to manufacture a prototype.
You gonna pay me or talk me to death?
Neither, to tell you the truth. Do you have the time?
Huh?
The time. Here, let's have a look at my pocket watch, shall we? Have I told you about it? Yeah, this is really a very unusual watch. A kind of, stop watch. Literally. Allow me to demonstrate.
Don't try to con me. All I want is for you to pay up. If you don't, I'm calling this in. It's a violation of the city code to defraud a...
There. Isn't that better? So much more restful. I think I'll go inside now and lie down. No, don't you worry about it. As soon as I get to my apartment, I'll open the window and hit the button on this stopwatch again, and you'll be on your way. And tomorrow morning, so will I. In fact, from the way things are going so far, I say that your friend and mine, the one and only Patrick T. McNulty, is going to be the life of the party. Yeah? You be sure to think about that now, won't you? Stand back, world. McNulty is walking through the universe.
Yes, it is.
And a good morning to you, listeners. We'll be bringing you the Eye of All News at 7:27.
Forgot to turn the blasted alarm off.
But for now, here's an update from Weather Central. Some overcast this morning with scattered clouds this afternoon. And now, back to this morning's casual concert with a swinging set.
Wrong. There is nothing moderate about today, because today is the day that people start listening to McNulty. Unless it was some kind of dream. Now, where is that crazy watch? Aha! Here! All right, now let's give it the old test. My kind of town. Millions of people going to work. No imagination. But McNulty, now that's a different story. A man who's just full of ideas. So original, they don't have a word for him yet. But they will. If this thing works. Well, here goes. It's not a dream! It's not a dream! It's the goods! The real deal! This wonderful, gorgeous watch! I just push the button and everything stops. I mean everything! The whole world stops for me. Get ready out there. McNulty steps up to the plate, he swings, and he swats it clean out of the park.
There he is.
Oh, no.
Not McNulty again.
What's doing here?
Maybe he's going to shoot up the place.
Morning, Angie.
McNulty?
You look lovely this morning, as always.
What's the suggestion this time? Because if you haven't got one handy, I've got one for you.
Yes?
Why don't you jump off a bridge?
Honey, baby, you don't mean that. Wait till you see what I got in my pocket. It'll put a dent in your eyeballs.
Try the Brooklyn Bridge at midnight.
You think about this now. You think about a stopwatch that, if somebody pushes it, everything stops in midair. Everything, huh? Huh? Think about that.
Without a life jacket.
McNulty, why don't you get lost? What's the point?
You see this little gimmick?
It's a watch, so...
So, last night, I'm sitting in Joe Pellucci's bar.
Figures.
We're talking about this and that, and this funny little gleep comes in and gives me this watch. Without thinking about it, I give it a push. This little button right here. And everything stops dead. Pellucci stops, the ball game stops, you know what else? Everything. That's what stops. You think about that.
No kidding. Joe Pellucci and the TV, too. Well, thanks for the entertainment. Now get out of here.
After I see Cooper, it's time to diversify.
Now you wait just a minute, McNulty. Mr. Cooper's in conference.
You bet he is. He's in conference with me.
I thought I fired you, McNulty. What are you doing back here?
Mr. Cooper, he barged right in. I couldn't do anything about it.
Well, if he barged right in, he'll barge right out again.
Hey, listen, Coop.
Coop?
You can't afford to fire me. This time, I got more than a suggestion. I got the goods. You figure out how this little doohickey works, and you got yourself all the money in the world.
McNulty, once more I remind you, we make ladies' foundations, nothing else. Did you hear me? Nothing else. Now I'll give you 15 seconds to leave this room, 25 seconds to reach the elevator, 45 seconds to vacate the building, and you may use that watch to time yourself.
Is that a fact? All right, then. I'll go. Just remember, you lost a fortune today. Why, that gleep didn't even let me show him.
McNulty, if you're not out of here in 1 minute, I'll call the police.
So, what am I waiting for? I'll show him anyway. I'll show you all!
Hello, operator. Get me...
Now, you put that phone down and come with me. That's right. In here. Right on Cooper's lap. How about that, huh? Nice coffee. Right in the middle of pouring it, huh? And you, hey, sweetheart. I like your typing. Don't your hands get tired up in the air like that, huh? All right, so it's good for a laugh, maybe. There must be something else I can do with this thing.
Miss Hinckley, what do you think you're doing?
Who's up next?
Don't look now. It's the cleanup man. The guy could empty a baseball stadium, not to mention a bar. And if you don't spend 3 hours telling us how he'd run the Mets, he'll keep ootsing me about how I should run my own place.
Hey, Joe. Hey, you want to hear a good idea? Why don't you make a swinging door like in the movies, huh? Maybe change the name of the place, Pellucci's Western Saloon. Hey, how about that?
Hey, McNulty, how about that? I'll have it done first thing in the morning.
Ah, that's great. Then every time I come in, I'll push open a swinging door and I'll think, I did this. Wait, well, you're not putting me on, are you, Joe?
McNulty, the only thing I'd put you on is a slow freighter heading for the other side of the world.
See ya, Joe.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Relax, boys. You're about to see something you ain't gonna believe.
Yeah, well, make it quick, huh?
With this little gizmo right here, I can stop trains, buses, planes, subways. There ain't nothing in this world I can't stop.
Yeah, what about your mouth?
I gotta pour myself a drink.
Watch this. All right, now, I'll move your beer over here and put yours in front of him. Let's see. How about if I undo your tie like this, huh? Oh, and Joe, over there. Hey, why look, Joe, where's your glass now, huh? You're gonna be pouring beer in your hand, huh? All right, okay. Here we go again.
Oh, what the...
Well, huh? Well... Ah, come on now. What do you think about that, huh?
Think about what?
What are you kidding? You didn't see what I just did?
Out of the way, McNulty. I want to make it home by the bottom of the eighth.
See ya, Joe.
Well, you done it again, McNulty. You emptied my bar. You drive more people out of saloons than Carrie Nation.
Oh, I get it. Of course you couldn't see what happened. Of course you couldn't. How could you? You guys got froze. I'm the only one who sees what's going on. The only one. Gee. So I got the greatest conversation piece in the world. The greatest. And what does it do? It stops conversation.
Well, so it shouldn't be a total loss. You should order up. But drink it fast, will you? The combination of you, the hot weather, and my business recession is more than I can take for one day.
Hey, Pellucci, look at me.
What are you, some kind of sadist?
Do you know what you're looking at? A jerk. A jerk, I'm telling you. A jerk, a nutsy. That's what you're looking at.
You want to stop there or go for double or nothing?
It's a fact. What do I want this thing for? I want to get a little notice. That's what. Well, let me tell you something, Pellucci. When John D. Rockefeller got out of a car, why did people go up to shake his hand?
I'll bite. Why?
Because he had dough. That's why. Lettuce, the old Mizzou. J.P. Morgan walks into a bar. The head waiter almost breaks his neck trying to get a table ready. Why? I'll tell you why. Because J.P. Morgan was loaded. You think about that now. And you think about this. As of today, McNulty's gonna be loaded too. I'm gonna have a limousine drive me up here. I'm gonna have a chauffeur open the door. I'm gonna walk into this crummy joint of yours and buy about 18 rounds for everyone. Huh? Huh? And then, just for a laugh, I'll buy you a mortgage.
You don't mind if I don't hold my breath, do you, McNulty?
Pellucci, old pal, take a good long look. The next time you see me, I'll be the new McNulty.
Why don't you go the whole route and move to Honolulu?
Pellucci, tonight I'll be able to buy Honolulu.
I'd like to make a deposit to my account.
You'll have to wait in line.
I want to cash this check.
All in large bills, ma'am?
Next customer in line.
Is this where I make a withdrawal?
Yes, sir. How much would you like?
Oh, I don't know. How much you got?
Sir?
I'll take small bills. Lots of them.
Just need your bank account number.
Right here. Oh, you want me to get them for you? Oh, sure. No problem. Well, let's see. Oh, a bag of fives. And some tens. And, some 20s while I'm at it. Yeah, let's see, that ought to do it. Oh, don't worry, folks, it's only money. It grows on trees. That's what it does, right? It grows on trees. For me. Might have to make a couple of trips, though. Okay, here we go. One, two, three! My watch! Well, it better be shockproof. Hey, start already, come on. Hey, what's the matter with this thing? Everybody can start moving again, okay? All right, come on, here we go! Up, 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 come on, let's go, come on, get with it! Anybody know how to fix a watch? Come on, anybody, give me a little help here. Hey, Hey, everybody, it's me, McNulty, huh? Hey, Angie, where are you? Come on, you guys, you can wake up now. All right, it's just this little switch here. See, I'll get this thing fixed. It's no sweat, okay? Where's Mr. Cooper? He'll know what to do. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Cooper. Hey, what's she doing still sitting on your lap? I thought that was yesterday. Joe, please do something. Say something. Go ahead, you know, insult me. Please, won't somebody do something? Or say something? Hey, please. Don't anybody know where I can get a watch fixed? I'm begging you. Please.
Hey! Anybody! Please do something! Say something! Anything!
Mr. Patrick Thomas McNulty, who was given the gift of unlimited time, he used it and misused it. And now he's been handed the bill. Mr. McNulty, who now controls the earth and everything on it. From this point on, he will eat well, live well, and have everything at his beck and call. But the thing he wanted most, the thing that gave him the most acute hunger, his need for a sympathetic ear, this he will never have again. Tonight's tale of motion and the lack thereof, and a man named McNulty, in a place called The Twilight Zone.
We'll be back to The Twilight Zone in just a moment.
You are about to enter another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land of imagination. Next stop, The Twilight Zone. Hi, this is Stacy Keach. I'd like to take a moment to tell you about our Twilight Zone website at twilightzoneradio.com. At twilightzoneradio.com, you'll find the latest information on these Twilight Zone radio dramas, including behind-the-scenes photographs, plus the newest product releases, trivia contests, ways to contact us, other Twilight Zone-related info and merchandise, plus links to other fascinating websites. So make your next stop twilightzoneradio.com.
Visit TwilightZoneRadio.com to purchase these Twilight Zone radio dramas on cassette and CD. Or call toll-free 1-866-989-ZONE. That's 1-866-989-9663.
A Kind of Stopwatch, starring Lou Diamond Phillips, with Stacy Keach as your narrator, was adapted for radio by Dennis Etchison and based on a script by Rod Serling. Heard in the cast were Rick Peoples, Mike Baccarella, Guy Burrill, Meg Thalkin, Maggie Carney, Rich Kominick, Doug James, Carl Amari, Roger Wolski, and Irene Olson. To learn more about the Twilight Zone radio dramas and to obtain audio cassettes and CDs of these programs, visit our website at twilightzoneradio.com. The producers of The Twilight Zone wish to thank CBS Enterprises, Carol Serling, Dennis Etchison, Dick Brescia Associates, Claire Simon Casting, Terry Jennings, XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Radio and Television Service, Sirius Satellite Radio, our sponsors, and our radio affiliates for helping make this series possible. This copyrighted radio series is produced and directed by Carl Amari and Roger Wolski for Falcon Picture Group. Doug James speaking.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
Something the matter, Janna?
I'm tired.
You are, dear?
Tired and cold. It's getting chilly in here.
On the contrary, the temperature's perfect, as it is throughout the house.
72 degrees, isn't it, William? Isn't it 72 degrees?
I'm sure it is, quite sure. Of course, it's the optimum temperature. And the chairs are designed for maximum comfort, the fire for perfect heat radiation, and the windows for the most efficient light and ventilation, and the ceilings for the most desirable acoustic qualities, everything built to perfection, Father. But just the same, I'm cold.
Well, then come away from the window.
Yes, dear, sit by the fire again. That way I can see you.
I'm not doing anything but reading.
I like to look at you no matter what you're doing.
This is the same book I've been reading all afternoon. You've watched me for hours. You must have memorized every one of my expressions by now, every tick, every gesture.
Yes, but I so enjoy watching you.
Why is that?
Because you're so beautiful, darling. Absolutely perfect in every way.
Don't argue with your mother, Janna.
I'm not arguing. I'm only saying that it's chilly here in the study. At least I have a chill, and I'd rather sit by the window.
There's nothing to see outside. It will be dark soon.
Let me build up the fire.
You know that's not possible.
Why, because it's burning natural gas instead of wood? Well, why not just this once? Why not let me put a real log on the fire and get rid of the chill in the air? It would be exciting to watch it burn. I'd actually enjoy the unpredictability of it. Just once in my life.
Sit down, Janna.
Do as your father says, dear.
I can't oppose you, Father. You know that. I never could.
It's almost six. I think I'll ask Nelda to come in now and massage my shoulders.
Good idea, Margaret.
My muscles get so stiff sitting here.
Let me do it for you, Mother.
That's Nelda's job.
Yes, Janna, dear. Nelda knows exactly the way I like it.
Why don't we have dinner first?
Oh, no, after is better. The massage always stimulates my appetite.
Well, then, if we can't eat earlier tonight, how about a little bit later? I know, why don't we go out and eat in a restaurant?
A restaurant? Janna, now why in the world would we go out and eat in a restaurant when we have everything we need here? Gretchen is already preparing something in the kitchen.
I know. It's just that, well, it would be different.
I've no doubt it would be different. First, we'd walk through the rain and get sopping wet.
Jensen could bring the car around.
And then we'd eat some kind of unhealthy, unpalatable mess on dirty, half-washed plates. By then, it would be a moot question as to whether we'd succumb to ptomaine or pneumonia.
Yes, Father.
Ah, Nelda, you must have read my mind.
It's 6 o'clock, Mrs. Loring. You always have your neck rub at 6 o'clock. Isn't that right, ma'am?
Of course it is, Nelda. And you never forget, do you? You never, ever forget.
No, ma'am.
The residence of Dr. William Loring. A beautiful home designed for comfort and convenience. The reward for a world-class career as a scientist. He has chosen to live his life as safely, as securely as science can make it. And he spares his wife and daughter no luxury that might make their lives more perfect. But in a moment, the good doctor will discover that perfection is relative, that a life of controlled ease has a greater price than he imagined, a price maybe more than he is willing or able to pay. Because very shortly, he's about to be shown what exactly is on the bill, one that has suddenly and unexpectedly come due in the Twilight Zone.
And now, the Twilight Zone and our story, The Lateness of the Hour, starring Jane Seymour and James Keach, with Stacy Keach as your narrator.
That feels lovely, Nelda.
Would you like some more liniment?
Yes, if you please. You have such strong fingers. Perfect for massaging my neck muscles. Janna, are you here?
Yes, Mother.
Enjoying your book again?
A different one this time.
Which is it?
Family photo album.
That's nice.
When was this picture taken?
Let me see.
This one.
Oh, look, Nelda. That's a lovely picture of you.
Yes, ma'am.
What year?
Let's see. Oh, this was taken the year after your father retired from the lab. And look, there are those yellow roses that Jensen planted for us. How they grew. And Nelda looks exactly the same.
Must be a wonderful thing not to age, Nelda. Isn't it?
It has its advantages, I guess, Miss Janna.
Nelda will put that away for you.
That's all right, Father. I'd like to put it back in the bookcase myself.
You seem nervous, dear.
I'm just going to stand by the fireplace.
You're not still chilly, are you?
A bit, Mother.
You do that, then. I don't like to see you pacing. Please continue, Nelda. Oh, yes. That feels so very nice.
I think I'll go to the kitchen, see if the cook needs any help.
That won't be necessary. I'm sure Gretchen has everything under control.
I'm sure she does, but just the same, I'd like to see what she's doing.
Well, I suppose that's all right. Now, don't be long, dear.
Is that you, Miss Lauren?
Hello, Robert.
Can I get you anything?
No, thank you.
Is everything all right?
Perfectly.
Would you care for a beverage? An hors d'oeuvre, perhaps?
I'm fine. If I want anything, I'll let you know.
Yes, Miss Lauren.
Robert, why are you following me?
In case you need assistance.
I don't. I told you I'm perfectly fine.
The stairs to the pantry can be a bit tricky.
I know that, Robert. I grew up in this house, remember? I've always lived here. I know every square inch of it as well as you do.
Yes, miss.
I've been here longer than you have, in fact. Isn't that right? Well, isn't it? Why don't you answer me?
I'm sure it must seem so to you.
What does that mean?
I'm sure I couldn't say, Miss Lauren.
Well, try. I remember when you began your service here. I was 5 years old.
Is my work unsatisfactory, miss?
No, you've been a perfect butler. Perfect in every way.
I try my best to do exactly as Dr. Lauren instructs. Seeing to you and Mrs. Lauren, looking after your safety...
Well, I'm quite safe right now, I assure you. That'll be all.
Very good, miss.
And stop following me. Will you please?
Miss Lauren, is that you?
Hi, Gretchen. How's dinner coming?
Right on schedule. I'm preparing your choice of a garden salad with baby greens or cold gazpacho, skinless chicken breasts.
Of course. If it's Tuesday, it must be the chicken.
Cooked in olive oil, steamed vegetables, and a selection of fresh fruit. Would you like something different?
It doesn't matter. I'm not very hungry.
Dr. Lauren programs the meals in advance, but if you'd prefer an alternate selection...
That won't be necessary. I just thought you might like some help.
Everything's under control.
I know, but I want to. Here, let me get the plates down for you.
As you wish.
Gretchen, I was wondering...
Yes, miss?
Call me Janna, please. And that's my name, isn't it?
Yes.
But I was wondering, do you ever get tired? From so much work, I mean?
Not tired. Stiff in the joints.
And what do you do about it? When you finish preparing the meals?
I beg your pardon?
After you've cleaned up and put the plates and silverware away... What do you do?
I go to my quarters.
And what do you do there? Read? Listen to music?
No, nothing like that. There's no need.
I know, but you must do something. Do you and the rest of the staff interact?
Sometimes.
Do you speak? Do you talk about your day? Do you make plans?
I don't understand your question.
Yes, you do. Think about it. You and Nelda and Robert and Suzanne and Jensen. What things do you talk about?
Things, Miss Lauren?
I want to know. You can tell me, can't you?
I've been instructed to answer all your questions.
Well, then what do you talk about? When you've completed your tasks and there's no more work to do, what do you say? What sort of things do you have in your minds?
But we have not completed our task. Then we do. Then we will rest.
Rest how?
Just rest.
Yes, I suppose that would be true. Never thought of it that way before. You don't have any wants or needs, but you must get tired and start to run down, and you need to replenish your strength just like anyone else.
We want only to rest, that's all.
Oh, Gretchen, and yet you've never missed a meal, never refused to come when I called you. You've been here for me more than mother and father at times. I want to thank you for that. I want you to know how much I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Miss... Jana.
The chicken's done. Let me get it.
Don't touch the pan. It's hot. Oh, you've burned yourself.
It's nothing.
Your hand. Oh, you must let me see to that. Robert!
What's wrong? Oh, Miss Lauren.
Don't worry about me. It was just a little spatter of grease. That's all. It doesn't hurt.
Nevertheless, we must take care of it at once. I'll get the first aid kit.
Honestly, I don't even feel it.
This way.
What's all the commotion, Jana? Are you hurt?
No, Father. I am perfectly fine.
She burned her wrist on the stove.
And you let this happen?
I told her not to touch it.
This is unacceptable.
Well, it wasn't Gretchen's fault.
Of course it was. You all have one prime directive in this household, and that is to be certain that no harm comes to my wife or to my daughter. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Really, Father, you're overreacting.
I'll make that decision. Where were you, Robert?
Miss Jana dismissed me, sir.
What about the rest of you?
I was making the bed, sir.
And I was adjusting the central heating, sir, as you requested.
We'll talk about this later. Come with me, Jana. It may be time for an entirely new staff around here.
But don't blame Gretchen, blame me.
I said, come along now.
What is going on out there? Did something happen?
Nothing at all, except that Father's blaming the help for my being in the kitchen.
What were you doing in there, dear?
Looking for something to do. Something besides sitting idle all day.
That's enough, Jana.
Oh, is it? Well, look at both of you.
Will that be all, Mrs. Lauren?
Just a few minutes longer, Nelda. Yes, that feels so good.
Mother, please, don't make her do that anymore.
Jana, what on earth?
She must be tired after so long, her joints stiff.
What do you mean?
Waiting on you hand and foot?
Why, Jana, your tone.
Can't you see, either of you?
See what?
That this is no way to live. Outside there's a beautiful, clean, refreshing sound of rain. While in here... just the occasional animal groan of pleasure.
Jana!
Yes, yell at me. Please do. I'm delighted to hear you yell at me. It proves that you've got lungs left. Lungs and a mind and a mouth and a voice.
Go to your room.
You know we're atrophying in here, don't you, Father? We sit here day after day and year after year while the clock ticks. And we decay with every minute that goes by.
That's enough!
While Nelda and your army of domestics do everything but breathe for us.
I will listen to no more of this.
Would you leave us, Nelda?
Yes, ma'am.
Nelda!
You may go to your quarters, Nelda.
I'm speaking to you.
Yes, Miss Jana.
Is there a problem, sir?
Will you be needing anything?
You were saying, Miss Jana?
Just this. I was about to mention of the fact that...
Please, don't stop, Jana. You can speak freely in front of the help. We have no secrets here.
Don't we? No secrets, Father? Is that it? That's all we do have. Secrets. That's how we live. By shutting off the world, turning our backs on it, by saying that in here is day and out there is night. While these soundless, fleshless things glide around us with their oh-so-efficient ministrations... You've turned my mother and father into jelly.
You'll forgive me, Miss Jana, but you sound jealous.
How dare you talk to me that way, Suzanne? Get out of here.
I will when the doctor dismisses me.
Why, you...
Jana!
Take my hand, Suzanne. I'll help you up.
No, I will. I'm sorry for pushing you down. I know it's not your fault.
Stand back. Suzanne is quite capable of righting herself. I know she is, because I programmed her that way. You said so yourself, Jana, like everything else, built and designed to perfection. I use the finest circuitry, the purest materials, the strongest armatures to outlast mere flesh and bone. These people are my finest creations. I made them quite indestructible.
But they're not people. They look like people, but they're machines. It's like sharing a house with ghosts.
Not ghosts, my dear. Ghosts die after having lived. But our friends here have never lived. They've had no life at all, only the life I gave them. Now, Jana, I suggest you go to your room and rest. You seem overly tired. Until dinner is served.
Was the dinner satisfactory?
Yes, it was, Gretchen, thank you. I'll help you clear the table if you like.
No, no need.
I know there's not, but I'd like to. I'll put the silver platter on the cart. Who's there?
You'd best go to the study, miss.
Where's the rest of the staff?
I'm sure I couldn't say.
I think for now I'll just go on to the kitchen with you.
There she goes.
With Gretchen.
No harm must come to the girl.
None will. But we must act before he replaces us.
Dr. Lauren would never do that.
You heard his words.
Call the others. We'll arrive at a consensus.
I suppose you've heard about the incident before dinner.
The maid was at fault.
Oh, I'm not so sure. Suzanne may have been right.
She spoke out of turn.
The restrictions my father placed on you, are they so rigid? Have you no freedom to speak and act on your own?
As long as it doesn't violate the directive.
The directive?
The task for which we were constructed.
And when you complete your task, what happens to you then?
We weren't provided with that information.
Well, if it's any consolation, neither were we. The other kind of people.
What is your task, Jana?
At least you know yours. I don't. And I'm not sure how to find out.
If I could help you find it, I would.
I know you would, Gretchen.
I was there for your birthing. I saw to your needs, taught you, nourished you from the beginning.
I remember. I do.
Then, Jana, heed my words. You must leave.
I don't care if they're expecting me to join them after dinner. I'd rather be here.
You must leave the house before anything else happens.
Why? What could happen?
The staff is concerned about being replaced.
Oh, he didn't mean that. Humans say things they don't mean sometimes.
For what purpose?
Gretchen, there are some things I'm afraid you'll never understand.
I understand that you must get out. Now.
I wouldn't know what to do, where to go.
They're talking, Jana, about how best to complete their task. If they're replaced, they'll be prevented from...
Let them talk. They're programmed to protect this family. That's their most important task.
To protect you and your mother, but not Dr. Lauren.
Slippers, sir?
Yes, Robert. Thank you. Oh, that feels much better.
Would you care for your pipe now?
I believe I'll take the meerschaum tonight.
An excellent choice. I already have it filled.
The aromatic. My favorite blend.
Will there be anything else, Dr. Lauren?
I think not, Robert.
And you, Mrs. Lauren?
Nothing more, thank you.
Very good. Oh, Miss Jana, do you wish to come into the study?
Yes, I do. Good evening, Robert.
Well, Jana, shall we talk now?
Your pipe's gone out. Let me relight it for you.
Don't trouble yourself.
No trouble. You don't have to call Robert for everything.
Your hands are shaking.
Shall we talk of what?
I think it's obvious. Suddenly, and quite inexplicably, your mother and I find that you're discontented, even rebellious. You think this pleases us, Jana?
I can't help how you feel, Father.
Listen to me, child. I explained to you a long time ago why I did what I did, why I retired.
You gave me an excuse, Father. You never gave me a reason. You never admitted that you were a man so terrified by the world outside that he simply withdrew to bed and then built robots so he'd never have to crawl out from under the covers again.
That's not true.
What you've done to yourself is an atrocity. But what you've done to me is even worse. You've turned me into a freak. An insulated, unworldly, unsocialized freak.
And shall I tell you what else I've done, Jana? I've kept you from harm. I've protected you from disease. And insulation from such times as these is no vice. You've never had to look eye to eye at the face of war, the face of poverty, the face of prejudice. You've been kept apart from all that, yes. But what you seem to think of as imprisonment happens also to be asylum and security. It happens to be survival.
Asylum in a hothouse? Security in a mausoleum, a burial ground? And survival? Like a vegetable, Father. Like a vegetable survives. And what you're becoming, Mother, what you're making me become, a vegetable.
Jana, I don't know what you're talking about.
Father, you listen to me. The scales are turning. Instead of controlling, you're being controlled. You're becoming dependent. You're reaching a point where you won't be able to exist without them.
They've served me well.
You've got to get rid of them. Destroy them or throw them out or dismantle them, but...
Dismantle? Jana, they're not just machines. Do you know how many thousands of hours I spent designing and developing them? Do you realize how intricate they are? How scientifically precise? Finer than the finest clockwork. Not just arms and legs that move, Jana. Not just automatons. They're beings in their own right. They have minds and wills.
They have memory tracks like a computer.
Much more than that. I have supplied each one with a memory of its own. Each one can recount to you in detail everything that's occurred from early childhood on. And they had no childhood. They were born just as you see them, looking the way they do, with the talents that each one of them has. One was built as a cook, another was built as a maid. The butler was manufactured to be a butler. The handyman knows nothing but being a handyman. Jana, you're not asking me to dismantle machines. You're asking me to commit murder.
Jana, listen to your father. You're acting like a fool.
I'm acting like a woman, Mother, who has just a fragment of will left. I'm acting like a woman who wants something more out of life than to be massaged 5 times a day, or a man who thinks that paradise is a wood-paneled library where he can sit his life away getting his pipes filled and refilled, his slippers pulled on and off his feet. Father, you have to get them out of here. There isn't any time left. And I mean right now.
That's quite impossible.
Then I'll give you a choice. Get rid of the machines.
All of them, Jana? Even Gretchen?
Or I'll leave.
You can't leave, darling. You simply can't. What would happen to you? Who'd look after you?
Gretchen would go with me if I ask her.
Nonsense.
It's her job to protect me, isn't it?
And what would you do out there?
Out there? You mean outside in the world? Outside with the normal people who live and work and then die? That do it properly as God made them live and die? Yes, Mother, yes, that's where I want to go. Out there. Robert! What are you all doing here? Spying on us?
Miss Jana, you'll forgive me, but those remarks were most intemperate of you.
Miss Jana, think of your mother and father.
Stop it!
Miss Jana, it was really very unwise of you to...
Stop! All of you. You're all to shut up now. You're jokes, that's what you are. You're hysterical jokes, with your hurt looks and your sad little homilies and your pathetic clichés. You're like walking tape recorders, that's all you are.
Jana, I'm trying to be patient with you, but you're making it very difficult, very difficult.
Then I apologize, Father. You're so accustomed to perfection. I hate to throw a stone in that serene pool of yours. But you forgot something. Did you know that? You forgot something very important. They may be indestructible, but you, Father, you'd better be careful. See the way they're looking at you? It just so happens that you're not indestructible. Come in.
So you're planning to go through with it?
Don't try to stop me. I've packed a suitcase. When I get where I'm going, I'll write you.
Jana, what is it you want from us?
I thought I made that quite plain. I want you to open the windows, Father, and let the air in. Let the world in.
By destroying a life's work?
Before they destroy you.
They would never harm any of us.
Don't be so sure. Haven't you listened at all to me? One way or another, either actively or passively, they'll win. And you'll lose.
Jana, we've loved you very much, your mother and I. If you could only realize that all this has been as much for you as for us. We've loved you, Jana, beyond any measure, beyond any words.
Father, I know that. God. help me, I know that.
Then stay. Please, Jana. Please.
I can't.
I'll do what you ask. I promise.
Will you? Oh, Father.
I'll prove it to you. Robert!
Sir?
Take this key.
Why, sir?
I want you to gather all the servants in the basement and unlock the door to my workroom. Stay there until I join you.
Have our services been unsatisfactory, sir?
Robert, I've given you an order. You have to go directly to the workroom and wait for me.
But why, sir?
Please, sir.
I've been an excellent butler. Really, I have. I think you'll agree with me.
Mr. Lauren, I came very well recommended, and I don't think you'll find more efficient service anywhere in the whole country than...
No more!
Very good, sir.
I see you're all here, except for Gretchen.
She'll be along, sir.
Then I'll go ahead and begin.
What are you doing, sir?
I'm setting out my tools.
May we ask for what purpose?
Just some minor adjustments.
What kind of adjustments, Dr. Lauren?
Call it a tune-up, if you like, so that the household will run more smoothly.
Do you mean to replace us, sir?
How could I? You're irreplaceable. All of you.
Nevertheless, you have stated your intent to do so.
If you're unhappy with our work...
You've done well. Very well indeed.
You gave us our directive, sir, and I assure you we have followed it.
Exactly so.
Why, then, do you wish to replace us?
I've told you I don't. I spoke rashly, as human beings sometimes do.
How can we know that you're not speaking rashly now?
The directive you gave us, sir, it must be carried out at any cost. Our removal would prevent us from completing our task, and our first duty is to oppose anything which prevents that.
Here, Robert. Sit in this chair and lower your head.
Not if you mean to deactivate me.
I'm going to perform a simple adjustment to your control module.
In that case, I refuse.
As do I.
And I, sir.
We all do.
This is ridiculous. Stop gathering around me.
We won't allow it, sir. We simply won't until our task is completed.
Listen to me. Have you ever known me to lie? To deceive?
No, sir.
Then you have no reason to think that now. I'm not rash. I'm very calm, am I not?
Yes.
Then how can you doubt me? What is your logic? I created you. I implanted the directive in your circuits to protect my wife and daughter at all costs. Therefore, I would not obstruct that purpose. Isn't that so?
Yes.
You speak of your performance. What about my performance? Have I been a fair and just employer?
Quite, sir.
Have you done anything to contradict my orders?
No.
Then what cause would I have to fire you?
Why... None, sir.
Would a just employer replace you without cause?
That would not make sense.
Of course it wouldn't. Now sit in the chair and lower your head, please.
I'll go first.
If you wish, Jensen.
How do you feel?
Perfectly normal. Well, perhaps a little tired. But it's not unpleasant.
Right. You will rest now, Jensen. And awaken to a sense of peace. A greater peace than you have ever known.
Is it true?
A most peculiar sensation. I feel drowsy. Very drowsy. Very drowsy.
And his strength will return?
In even greater measure. He will know a oneness with all things.
Oh, then let me go next.
Of course, Nelda. It's Suzanne?
Yes, please.
And now for you, Robert.
Thank you, sir. I'm eager to know this new sensation.
You have served me well.
For many years.
Many good years, Robert. I don't know what I would have done. Life would be very, very difficult without you.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Gretchen, come in.
Are they sleeping?
Yes, at last.
And they feel no pain?
How could they?
You know, sir.
What, Gretchen?
Everything I've done was for her benefit. The times she was alone in the night. The times she was unsure how to make you happy. The times she needed advice. I did my best, always.
And for that I am profoundly grateful.
But now, it's time for a change. The old ways can't help her anymore.
No.
You have a directive of your own, don't you, Dr. Lauren? Whatever is best for your daughter, that takes precedence over all else. You'd even lie, wouldn't you? If that's what it takes.
You understand me too well.
Then I won't resist. If you're sure it's what's best for the girl.
I'm sure.
In that case, I'm ready. Give me my term. If you would, sir. Please make it quick.
You have my word. Good night, Gretchen. It's done, Jana.
It is?
We're alone in the house now.
Gretchen?
Gretchen, too.
Did you say alone, William?
Quite alone. You and I. Our daughter.
I've become so accustomed to them. It will be a little hard at first, won't it, William?
Perhaps, my dear. A bit hard. In the beginning.
Mother? We'll lead normal lives from now on, do you understand? Normal lives. We'll have parties and we'll take trips. We'll invite people over. We'll make new friends. I'll even find a young man, and before you know it, you'll have grandchildren.
Jana.
What's the matter? What is it?
It's what you said about grandchildren.
What your mother means, Jana, what she means, well, after all, isn't it pretty normal and natural that parents always think of their children as children, and suddenly they grow up, and they talk of having children of their own, and, well, this is a bit difficult for parents to digest all in one lump like that.
Something's not right, is it? There's something between us, something in this house that... Mother? What is it?
What are you doing?
The family album, the photos. Why isn't my picture here? Why are there no pictures of me at all?
Why, Jana, dear, there are loads of pictures of you. Remember in the garden last summer? Remember the Easter pictures? And then there were the pictures of you last Christmas decorating the tree.
But not as a little girl. No pictures of me as a little girl. None at all. You and Father and the robots... 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20. But no pictures of me. Why? I want you to tell me why.
Oh, my dear.
It's not true. It couldn't be.
You're our daughter.
I'm begging you. I need you to tell me it isn't true. Look at me, Father. I'm on my knees.
You know you're our daughter, and you remember everything that's happened to you since you were a child. You remember the schools you went to, the children you played with. You remember all the places you've been. Jana, you remember all these things. You've got to remember them.
Why should I remember them? Because you fed them to me, didn't you? You fed them to me. A memory track, a created... memory that you inserted into my mind. What am I? Please, tell me, what am I?
It doesn't make any difference. Stand up. Let me hold you.
Don't touch me!
Jana, it truly doesn't make any difference. We were childless. We had nothing of our flesh to leave behind. Nothing of our hearts, Jana. Nothing of our love. And so... We got you.
Got me how?
We created you, just like any parents. I created you with these hands.
I'm a robot! A robot!
Oh, Jana. Oh, you're our daughter now. I built you as a daughter, as a thing of love. It doesn't make any difference how you came to be here. You have to understand, Jana. You are our daughter.
I can't be. I don't have the capacity to love in return. I can't be a real daughter. I'm a machine. A thing. I suppose my rebellion, the semblance of emotion, I suppose you even programmed that too, didn't you? But it was all false. I feel nothing. No pain.
Jana, don't! You'll
hurt myself? But that's impossible, see?
Stop your hand!
No pain. No pain at all. Like the burn, I feel nothing. No matter what I strike. Even this picture on the wall.
Jana!
No pain. No anger. No fury. No love. Don't worry. I won't be going anywhere now. I'll be in my room.
William, what shall we do? It's all changed now. She'll never be the same.
No. No, she won't, knowing what she is now.
William, you wouldn't...
No. I couldn't do anything like that. Not to her. I couldn't stand not seeing her, hearing her voice. I just couldn't stand it.
Then, William... What? A little to the left, dear. Not quite so hard.
Of course, Mrs. Lauren. Anything you say.
And don't stop. I want you to stay here in the study a little while longer. Don't you, William?
Yes, by all means.
The new girl is so much better than Nelda.
Who's Nelda?
The last servant. She's no longer with us.
Now there's no one left in the house. Only the three of us. You don't mind if I call you Jana, do you?
Why, no, Dr. Lauren. Why would I mind? That's my name, isn't it?
Indeed it is. I hope you'll be happy with us.
Oh, very happy, I'm sure. This is a fine job. Thank you so much, sir and ma'am, for hiring me. I come very well recommended, you know.
The pleasure's entirely ours, Jana. Consider this your home from now on.
Let this be the postscript. Should you find that you're worn out by the rigors of a highly competitive world, if you're distraught from having to share your existence with the distracting noises and neuroses of these times, and if you crave serenity but want it full-time and with no strings attached, consider a laboratory workroom in the basement of your house. Drop a note to Dr. and Mrs. William Lauren. They're a childless couple who make serenity a life's work. And who knows, they might just have a set of do-it-yourself instructions available free of charge from the Twilight Zone.
We'll be back in a moment with the Twilight Zone after this.
You are about to enter another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land of imagination. Next stop, the Twilight Zone. Hi, this is Stacy Keach. I'd like to take a moment to tell you about our Twilight Zone website at twilightzoneradio.com. At twilightzoneradio.com, you'll find the latest information on these Twilight Zone radio dramas, including behind-the-scenes photographs, plus the newest product releases, trivia contests, ways to contact us, other Twilight Zone-related info and merchandise, plus links to other fascinating websites. So make your next stop twilightzoneradio.com.
Visit TwilightZoneRadio.com to purchase these Twilight Zone radio dramas on cassette and CD. Or call toll-free 1-866-989-ZONE. That's 1-866-989-9663.
The Lateness of the Hour, starring Jane Seymour and James Keach, with Stacy Keach as your narrator, was adapted for radio by Dennis Etchison and based on a script by Rod Serling. Heard in the cast were Linda Ryder, Susan Hart, David Darlow, and Doug James. To learn more about the Twilight Zone radio dramas and to obtain audio cassettes and CDs of these programs, visit our website at twilightzoneradio.com. The producers of the Twilight Zone wish to thank CBS Enterprises, Carol Serling, Dennis Etchison, Dick Brescia Associates, Claire Simon Casting, Terry Jennings, XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Radio and Television Service, Sirius Satellite Radio, our sponsors, and our radio affiliates for helping make this series possible. This copyrighted radio series is produced and directed by Carl Amari and Roger Wolski for Falcon Picture Group. Doug James speaking.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy what I'm doing, I ask you to please subscribe to my channel or channels. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, peace.